welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Amen. Everything could be a whole lot different if we weren't leaning on the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for being able to hold the weight of us all. Amen. Oh, what an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God. And I do bless him this morning and praise him and thank him so much for saving my soul. Hallelujah. And then blessing me to find out I had somebody I could lean on who wasn't ever going to let me down. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a great salvation we have. Praise the Lord this morning again for the autism ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. Blessing us with worship. Praise the Lord for our music ministry, the men's choir. Amen. And Minister Farabee and our drummer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we praise the Lord for you back there too, Brother Dorian. I know. Praise the Lord. Brother Kenny has come in. Praise the Lord, Brother Dorian. You see what the difference prayer makes? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We got a little hum up here. And before I pray, I want to thank Minister Farabee, because unbeknownst to her, when God was using her on Wednesday night, he prepared all of us who were here for the word today. Oh, hallelujah. Talk about the Lord being in this place. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Will you bow in prayer with me? Precious God, we come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just thank you for allowing us all to be here today to worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. God, right now we need you to do what only you can do, which is to minister this word to us. We ask, oh God, we thank you for the fact that you have already prepared the soil of our hearts. So we ask that you bless the word to fall on good ground today so that it would bring forth fruit for your glory and fruit that will remain. God, indeed, please move me out of your people's way and move them out of my way so that you can have your way. And even now, God, we ask that you demonstrate to the powers of darkness that you are indeed still Lord at the Church of the Redeemer Baptist. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bow to you now. We yield to you now, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the world is full of rules of conduct, also known as protocol. No matter where you or I may go, we started out as children learning the protocol in our homes. Sit up straight. Pick up your feet when you walk. Get your elbows off the table. And don't talk with your mouth full. Then we went off to school and found there was more protocol regarding our conduct there. Then there was church, more protocol. We grew up and got jobs or went off to college, more protocol to be adhered to. There seems to be a protocol to be followed everywhere we go. Obviously, these rules are in place for a reason. We simply do not know how to act on our own. And let the church say, amen. Now, I've mentioned just a few of the places where there are protocols to be followed. But there's one more place I didn't mention, and that's in prison. I served with Deaconess Perry on the prison ministry for 8 years. And we learned by going to PIC that there was a proper protocol to be followed there. From the time they got up in the morning, at chow time, when they went to commissary, or when it was brought to them, and even at visiting time. When they had a visitor, they had to change from their blues, not just their physical ones, but their emotional ones as well. Visiting time was when they put on their orange jumpsuit. Why? In order to follow the proper protocol. Today, however, we're going to learn about another protocol in prison. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. I know those with your gadgets, you can put that translation right in there. Acts chapter 16, I'm going to read starting at verse 16 through verse 31. In Acts chapter 16. I hear the pages turning, praise the Lord. All the ones with the gadgets are like, we're ready. Praise the Lord. Technology. Amen. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 16, in the New Living Translation. Luke writes, "One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved.' They went on day after day. This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. 'The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews,' they shouted to the city officials. 'They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice.' A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted, 'Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here.' The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household.' This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God." And I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes around the topic, the proper protocol for praise in prison. The proper protocol for praise in prison. Paul and Silas were severely beaten and thrown into prison because they were doing the will of God. Anybody here feel like you're in a prison because you're doing the will of God? Anybody in here imprisoned by the very word of God? You know, you wanted to leave your marriage, but the scripture said in 1 Corinthians 7, if a fellow believer has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to continue living with him, he must not leave her. And if a believing woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him. Somebody said, "That's it, I'm going home, that's all." But you know, I know that the theologians in the house want me to point out that the Apostle Paul said that this command was from him, not the Lord. Although he went on to say in the chapter that his wisdom came from God. All I can say is that God allowed these verses to become part of Scripture. And we will find out if God was in it when we try to leave. Oh, hallelujah. We're talking about being imprisoned by the very word of God. How about after we were betrayed, and the one who betrayed us never apologized, and we want our pound of flesh? But the word says in Mark 11, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. What about when we've been lied on, talked about, mistreated? But the word says in Matthew 5, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Tell your neighbor, say, you blessed girl. You blessed man. You know, y'all call each other by the right gender. We got it. I'm not going to say that, Lord. Praise you. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Looks like the word gives us the proper protocol for praise in prison, even when the word itself is the jailer. Remember now, Paul and Silas were not just locked up, but they were all beat up too, which meant they were probably all swollen and bloody. And let's not forget, they were also naked. Remember, the city officials said had had them stripped because this was also to bring about humiliation. Oh, that's what our enemies want to do, humiliate us, amen? And they were not just in the prison, but they were in the inner prison, in solitary confinement, down in the hole. And their feet were put in stocks and chained. Stocks are large wooden boards with hinges used to restrain one's feet. There was no child time for them, no commissary time, and no visitors were coming to see them. But God had plans for them while in prison, just like he's got plans for you and me while we're in our prison. What you talking about, Willis? I ain't in no prison. Well, once again, Deaconess Perry said many years ago that we may not all be in a physical prison, but some of us are in an emotional one, a psychological one, or even a circumstantial one. God used Paul and Silas to introduce the proper protocol for praise in prison. They didn't just sit there and feel sorry for themselves, wondering why God had let this happen to them. After all, they had sacrificed so much to follow him. Family, friends, careers, reputations. They didn't begin to complain about why they had to keep going through one thing after another, or why others who called themselves Christians didn't seem to be going through anything and didn't seem to have any restrictions on what they could do or where they could go. They came to the house churches making rounds to see if the preacher that suited them was there, apparently never consulting God about the who, what, when, and where of anything in their lives. Oh, help us, Lord. What God wants to know from each of us today is, are we willing to praise him to the point where our chains fall off? Are we willing to follow the proper protocol for praise in our particular prison? If so, here's a few of the praises we can offer to the Lord. Some of them may be specific to being in an actual prison, but they all apply to us in some way. If this is the first time we've ever felt locked up as a result of saying yes to God, it's time for the I don't feel like praise and praise. That's the sacrifice of praise in Hebrews 13:15, which says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. God may just be saving our lives and keeping our minds by allowing us to be locked up with him at this particular time of our journey. When our case Oh, or our situation, our circumstance gets continued, goes on and on and on for whatever reason. That's the time for the have your way, Lord, praise. Because Isaiah 55 says that God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. God's obviously up to something, making us wait. And if we're not feeling that praise, then it's time for the you're worthy all the time praise of Psalm 34, 1 to 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, as some folks used to say, my very soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Now, when you feel just straight up like giving up, because so much stuff seems to be going wrong, it's time for the I'm hoping in you, Lord, praise. Because God says in Zechariah 9:12 that he wants us to be prisoners of hope. In Psalm 42:5, the psalmist asked himself, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And then he answered himself, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is my Savior and my God. Now, when we hear that one of the saints, one of the inmates has put out a threat against our good name, it's time for the you've got my back praise of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men and women advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord because he's got my back. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now, when some of our cases do get dropped, or our situation gets worked out that we know shouldn't have worked out, it's time for the thank you for your mercy praise of Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His mercy endures forever. And in case we didn't get that, his mercy means that we are not getting what we do deserve. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If we found ourselves locked up again after we swore that the last time was the last time we would be incarcerated, or if we said that was the last time we would find ourselves going through the same thing over and over again and again and again, then it's time for the he still loves me praise. Because he said in Lamentations 3:40, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. The children's song says, Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, but it makes him very sad. The main thing to know is that Jesus still loves us, no matter what. One of the sisters that used to be at PIC would always sing the same song for us every time we went up. And it's a Dottie Rambo song. And I think we all need to pay attention to the words. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. And I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. And when I said, she sang this every time that we went up there. And this sister sang this song in prison, y'all. Sounds like she knew the proper protocol for praise in prison. Because she seemed to be saying, I may be in prison, but the prison's not in me. Oh, hallelujah. As Paul and Silas began to focus on what God had done for them by praying and singing to the Lord, they began to offer up what could be called a sacrifice of praise, because they knew that God was worthy to be praised no matter what they were going through. And as I said, they were all beat up, they were all swollen and bloody and naked. Paul and Silas weren't concerned about how much time they were going to get, but they began to think on the goodness of Jesus and not only all that he had done for them, but all that he had done in them and all he had done through them as well. And their souls probably began to cry out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. They decided they were going to bless the Lord at all times and let his praise continually be in their mouths while they were all bloody and beat up and swollen and probably had one eye shut where they were kicked in the eye, okay? Their conversation probably went something like this. Paul said to Silas, man, I'm so sore. I can hardly move. But I thank God I could feel the pain. Silas said, amen, Paul. I praise God. I praise God. I praise God that they didn't let him kill us. Paul said, what you talking about, man? Especially since I used to go around persecuting Christians. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for I can see that your mercies are new every morning. You know, Silas, I feel, Silas, I tell you, I feel, brother, I'm hurting, mind you, but I feel like praising him. And I believe it was Paul and Silas and not Mary, who could be heard singing in the prison, take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise you, Lord. I just want to praise you. My body's all beat up, but I want to give you the praise. I want to give you the glory. My life is all messed up, but I still want to praise you because you're worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as they were praising and praying, something amazing happened. And see, the scripture tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. So you might just start out with a little, thank you, Jesus. And they sitting there, thank you, God. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. You ain't let them kill us, you know. And they got in. The Lord got in all that. And he got in, and next thing you know, the earthquake, the earth moves. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What'd you say, Minister Farabee? Do we have an earthquake moving praise down on the inside? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Paul and Silas kept on praying. They kept on singing and shouting, and all the other prisoners and guards could hear them. The next thing you know, an earthquake broke out and all the prisoners' chains fell off. Put a pin in there. How many people can get set free by our praise? Oh, hallelujah. You know, somebody said, I thought I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just couldn't keep it to myself. So I got to praising, and I was touching Brother Dami, and he got to praising. It broke out on the road. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, the prisoner's chains fell off. But not only their chains, but even the jailer's chains of unbelief fell off too. The jailer and his family got saved that night because two prisoners decided to pray and praise God instead of feeling sorry for themselves. What about us here today? Are we ready to get out of our prisons? Are we ready to give praise to God in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our misery, in the midst of our humiliation, in the midst of all that we're going through? Now, this ain't no get your praise on scenario here today, y'all. This is a praise like you and I may have never given God before. A praise that God will use to destroy the things that bind us, the visible and invisible shackles that keep us bound. And we never know who might get saved because of our praise. Anybody in here want to break some shackles off of your life today? Shackles of fear, shackles of doubt, shackles of unbelief, shackles of mediocrity. Aren't you tired of just doing just enough to get by? Shackles of inferiority. Don't you know who you are in Christ? Then start praising him. Today's the day we take back our esteem and yield to being who God says we are. One who is fearfully and wonderfully made. One who he said is the head and not the tail. One who he said is his righteousness in Christ. And there's even more shackles in here that need to come off. Anybody got shackles of inadequacy? Shackles of procrastination? Shackles of pretense? You ask, what's that, preacher? You know, pretending everything is all right when you know you're about to lose your mind in your situation. When you're coming up in here pretending to love Jesus, when you really feel like even he is wanting too much from you. According to our text today, if we want to loose shackles, we need to do so with praise. Oh, amen. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. So here we're going to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. I only took Hebrew 2s. I didn't take Hebrew, so if I didn't pronounce it right, don't get upset. But I'm going to give you 7 Hebrew words for praise. Pick the one you want. And guess what? You can make up your own praise, okay? Because we about to praise him up in here. Amen. There's a halal praise. And it's the primary Hebrew root word for praise. One word, hallelujah, comes from this word. And it means to be clear, to praise, to shine, to boast, to show, to rave, to celebrate. Don't we want to rave about our God? Amen. Then there's yada. That's the extended hand. Praise you, Lord. To throw out the hand. Therefore, to worship with extended hands. To lift your hands in worship. The Lord is making so everybody going to have a way to praise him. Amen. Todah. Todah. That's close to yada. But it's an extension of the hand in adoration, avowal, or acceptance. And basically what it's used for is thanking God for things not yet received and for things he has already done. Okay, so we have halal, yada, todah, shabak. Everybody likes these words. Shabak means to shout, to address in a loud tone, to command, to triumph. So if you're in a yada or a toda and you're raising your hand and the next person next to you is in a shabak, don't be messing and saying, come on, I don't need you to do all that. You do you. You do you. Amen. Then there's a barak. The barak means to kneel down, to bless God as an adoration, as an act of adoration, to salute, but it's to kneel. Then there's zamar, to pluck the strings of an instrument, to sing, to praise. A musical word, which is largely involved with the joyful expression of music, with musical instruments. Go ahead, Minister Tamika. Run some. Run some. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Then there's the tehillah. That means the singing of the halals, to sing or laud. Perceived to involve music, especially singing hymns of the spirit of praise, as when our choir sings, amen. And then there might just be the good old South Philly praise, your praise. But at this moment in time, if you want some shackles to be broken off of your life, then give God a praise like you've never given him before. Hallelujah. 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 Keep on praising. Keep on praising. He's been too good. And he's got more in store. He looked beyond our faults. He sees our needs. He knows that crappy attitude we have, that bad mouth we got. Would you say the other day, what are we saying? What's coming out of our mouths? How we treating our brother? How we treating our sister? But God keeps on blessing us. He keeps on blessing us. He keeps on blessing us. We're still standing. We're still here. Some of us could have been dead, should have been dead, but we're still here. And as they said, we don't look like what we've been through. He didn't have to keep us, but he did. He didn't have to keep us, but he did. He didn't have to keep us, but he did. And it's not about what we did before we were saved, but what we've been doing since we've been saved. Give him praise. Say, Lord, I want to be released. I want the shackles to come off of my life. I want to be free. I want to praise you like I never praised you before. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Give him a praise. He's worth at least one praise. Amen. He's worth a thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving my soul. I don't know about you, but I was sinking. Sinking. Sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore. What'd he do? Came out and snatched me. He snatched us. We didn't want to come out. Snatched us out. And then he put his name on us. He put his spirit in us. He gave us his word to help us know how to live. He has not withholding anything from us. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. Give him the praise. Give him the glory. Let's see if we can get so much of a praise that he gets in it with us, that he shakes the foundation of this church. Hallelujah. 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 I hear, Minister Tamika, some chains falling. I hope it's your chains. I'm getting mine. Amen. Let him. set you free through praise. Through praise. Through praise. You may have never lifted your hands before. Lift one right now. Lift one right now. You never have done. Lift the other one. Say, God, I might feel uncomfortable, but you've been too good. You've been too good to me. I'ma stand up. I'ma give you the glory. No matter how uncomfortable I feel, because you were uncomfortable on that cross. Oh, hallelujah. But you stayed up there for us, God. You stayed up there that we might be free. Give them praise. Give them glory. Don't let this moment of freedom pass you by. Oh, hallelujah. And only because we're on a schedule do we have to move on. But you can continue. When this service is over, get yourself into your secret place. Go out in your car and just praise the Lord. Don't go back there and get nothing to eat. Go in your car. Go outside and just thank the Lord and praise the Lord. And I bet you, you're going to have a testimony for us. I bet you. You know what he brought you through. You didn't know how you was going to make it. From day to day, you didn't know. But he was there. And he held you close. He picked you up in his arms. And he held you like a little baby. He was your Abba Father, your Daddy God. And he rocked you in the cradle of his arms. And nobody else knew how hard it was for you to go through what you were going through. But he did. He did. And he sustained you. And he kept you in your right mind. You didn't have to get 302. You didn't catch a case. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Don't nobody know like you know what he's done for you. Nobody knows like you know. Nobody knows like you know what he's done for you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you know what? Some of you right now may be in a situation or a circumstance, and you say, yeah, I know, God, you've done all that for me. But my heart is just so heavy. I can't tell you. I don't think I can raise my hand. Because I think I might bust out and cry. Bust out and cry. Bust out and cry. He brought us through too much. And come on, y'all. There's people out there who are not saved yet, who are living better just by nature than a lot of us are by having the Spirit. And maybe some of us, okay, Lord, we got to go back. What's that thing say? Let's go back, let's go back, let's go way back when. Because some people may not remember. Help me, Lord. You know, when you was hanging around with them, you know where you went. You know what you did. You know about that twosome, threesome, foursome thing. Okay. You know about that abortion. Oh, a couple of abortions. Okay. You know about how you was messing around with your buddy's wife. You know how you was messing around with your cousin's husband. You know how you used to, what's that thing? You used to be a booster. You know. They know about them boosters. And if you bought the clothes from the booster, then you was, what's that thing they said? Something about them stolen goods or whatever or something. You guilty too. You know about that candy you used to steal from the drugstore? You know the money you used to steal from your grandmother's purse? You know all them lies you told your parents about what was going on in school, and they found out when you got left down that you was lying. You know how you sitting looking so holy now, but you went with that man when he was going with somebody else. And every time his wife had a baby, you had one too. Oh, come on now, see, because we forget. Evidently, we forgot where we came from. Now I ask you, is there a praise you want to give to the Lord from where he brought you from? Oh, hallelujah. 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 You know how you molested your niece and nephew? You know how you molested your own children? See, we forget. We forget. That's why we can't praise him. But he knows what you done. He may not have me say it, but he knows what you done. All them affairs you had. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You was going with everything that had a pair of pants on. And you didn't care if it was married or not married. Oh, come on with this. Come on with this. Trying to find love in all the wrong places. But he picked you up. He snatched us out of that stuff. And he put our feet on a rock. Called us his own. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We were in a prison. And some of us were in a physical prison. And look at us today, sitting up in church, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, amen. And some of you speaking in tongues and interpreting. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now. Can any of us say we should have what we have? That we should be here today? Oh, hallelujah. As I said, let the praise continue when you leave here. Amen. But now, if you and I want to follow the proper protocol for praise in prison, we must let God's word dwell in us richly. We must hide his word in our hearts. We must let it guide our paths. We got to stop being anxious about what's going to happen or about what we think is going to happen. But we got to pray. And think on what the Bible says for us to think on in Philippians 4. Think on whatsoever things are good and pure and true and lovely and just and honest. If there's going to be any virtue, if there's going to be any praise, Sister Norma, we got to think on those things. And then once we've done all we know to do, just stand on God's word. But you can't stand on his word if you're not letting it dwell in you richly. And then we got to give him the praises that are due him. If we gave God the praises that are due him, we'd be here all week long. For real, for real. And we give him praise whether we feel like it or whether we don't. Because he blesses us no matter what. The song says when the praises go up, the blessings come down. But you know, there may be some in here today who are not able to follow the proper protocol for praise in prison because you do not yet know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're still a natural man or woman, a natural boy or girl. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that you can understand the things of the Spirit, all this, because these things have to be spiritually understood. God is a spirit, my brothers and sisters. And those who worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. We can't worship God in the flesh. Not genuinely. It must be done through our spirit. But if you've never been born again, your spirit is still dead. God offers life to you today. New life in him. Which will cause your spirit to come alive. The scripture says, Ephesians 2, and you have he quickened. That's what happens when we get saved. Our spirit comes alive. It gets quickened. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. If you're not saved, you're a dead man walking, a dead woman walking, a dead child walking, because your spirit man has never been quickened. You're only alive naturally. To make it through what lies ahead of you in this life, you will need the Lord Jesus Christ. I offer him to you right now, no strings attached. Just come as you are, so that you will be able after today to follow the proper protocol for praise in the prison that you're in. The scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but will have everlasting life. Won't you come today if you don't know him? If you're not sure, won't you come? We offer Christ to you. We offer that salvation that only comes through Jesus Christ. We've heard several times today already that there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So if you don't know Jesus, you're not saved. If you're not sure, come on and make sure today. He wants to set you free. If you're not saved, you are in a prison. You're in a prison of sin, and you can't get yourself out. You can't get yourself out. You can change for a little while, but the change is not going to be permanent. But he can get you out permanently. Amen. Somebody in here may be saved, may know the Lord, but you need to make a fresh commitment to the Lord, because you've been doing you. You know, you come to church, you do Jesus on Sunday, but then the rest of the week you do you.
Amen.
And really, you're not happy. You think you're having a good time. You say, no, I don't think so, preacher. I am having a good time. No, but when your head hits the pillow at night, that's when the truth of everything hits you for real, for real. And you know you're not right. So you need to make a fresh commitment to the Lord. And somebody else, you may be walking with the Lord, been saved for years, but you need to make a fresh commitment, because you said, Lord, I seem to have lost my fire. I seem to have lost my excitement. And I want to get revved up again for you, Lord. So if you want to make that fresh commitment, the Lord will receive you and he will re-energize you. We can't do it. He will. And then there's somebody else here. You're in need of a church home. If the Holy Spirit is leading you that way, come and join us here at Redeemer. As has been said, we are not a perfect church, but we're striving on to maturity. If the Lord is leading you to come, that means we need your gifts here, and you're going to be a blessing to us, and we're going to be a blessing to you.